We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a little bit of chapter 3, the latter part of chapter 3, but mostly chapter 4 tonight. And I appreciate you being here. I appreciate this good word that Paul has given us as he writes to the church at Thessalonica. Let me read the chapter in your hearing. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you would walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, that's going to be my subject tonight, if we believe. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If correctly read, that's chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. Pray with me just a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you, Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit. Makes the word of God alive and real to us and speaks to our heart. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would just, Lord, lead us and guide us in the message. And Lord, I pray tonight for our people, Lord, that you would encourage them. Lord, we know that it's already been said in the meeting, there's much discouragement in the air in these days. And Lord, we're not exempt from it as God's people. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would encourage your people and help us, Lord. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The text tonight, if we believe, and I believe I'm preaching tonight to a group of people that are believers. And I'm not saying tonight that it's not possible to be in a Wednesday night service and be an unbeliever, because certainly it's possible. But I believe tonight we're talking to people that love the Lord, that love this book. And Paul said, if we believe, and there's three things the Lord spoke to my heart about in this chapter and then just the last couple of verses of the preceding chapter. And I want to share them with you tonight, if I may. First of all, I'll just give you the outline, so to speak, and then come back and give you what the Lord spoke to my heart about. There's a challenge that's placed before us. As when I say us, we're talking about believers. If we believe, there's a challenge that's placed before us. And then there's a commandment that's placed before us. And all this is in light of the coming of the Lord. You remember on Sunday I told you, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, I didn't realize this till last week, but every chapter mentions the coming of the Lord. I hope that you've taken a little time to read the two books and see how that every chapter the Apostle Paul mentions the coming of the Lord. And then the last thing tonight, not only is there a challenge that's placed before us and a commandment that's placed before us, But thank God there's a comfort that's placed within us. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. And he said, if I go away, he said, if I go not away, he said, then the comforter will not come. But if I go away, I'll send you another comforter. Aren't you glad there's one that lives inside of us? Amen. Amen. And as we said on Sunday night, there's a lot in the world. If you look at it that way, it could shake you to the core. Amen. I'm telling you, decisions are being made right now. Who in this world, are you listening to me tonight, would have ever thought that the United States government could get by with looking in your bank account? That's what they're trying to pass right now. Amen. And they've said, first they said, if you have transaction of $600 in a year, well, then they've bumped it up to $10,000 now in a year. Big deal. They got no business. Say amen, amen, amen. They want to spend $80 billion to hire more IRS agents. Do you understand what happened just a few years ago, that it was proven that the IRS targeted conservatives? Do you understand that? You say, preacher, you don't think they would do such a thing. Honey, I wouldn't put nothing past them. Amen. And I'm just praying that this mess won't go through. But even though it's unpopular, the Speaker of the House, I don't even want to say her name. Ugh, my stomach churns a little bit. But anyway, even though it's unpopular, she said, we're going to make sure we get that through. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, we're in a mess. But there's comfort in the heart of the believer, because we know, beloved, the Savior is soon coming. Amen. It's shaping up. It's shaping up gloriously for the coming of the Lord. Let's look at these things tonight. I'll get this coat off. My wife said to me tonight, she said, where's your tie? I looked around tonight, honey, and I don't see another tie in the building, and I didn't want to mess it up. Amen. I wanted us to be 100% in unison tonight. Amen. I hope my collar will unbutton like Preston's here in a minute. Amen. Amen. I just decided tonight I was going to breathe. Amen. While I preach. Amen. I've seen pictures of Brother Jack. I mean, even in them pictures, brother, where he was supposed to be posing for the camera, that thing was way down there. Amen. Amen. I appreciate you tonight. I'm glad nobody else asked me where my tie was. Amen. My wife has that right, especially when she matched it up to what I was wearing and packed it for me today. Amen. I left home about 10 o'clock this morning. All right. What we want to look at tonight is if we believe. Let's look first of all at the challenge that's placed before us. The challenge I saw was in verse number 1, and that's to please God. I'll tell you something, everything else or to fall under that heading tonight as we live in the light of the coming of the Lord is what I'm doing and what I'm not doing pleasing to the Lord. You remember in the Old Testament, it would be said of a king, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And of another king, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. I'll remind us tonight, beloved, when we stand before him, it's not going to worry. It's not going to matter what your neighbor thought about how you lived. Amen. But what is going to matter is what God knows about how we've lived our life. Amen. And so Paul lays a challenge. He said we ought to walk and to please God. I just give you a couple of things here tonight. First of all, I believe God wants us to be unmovable. We talked a little bit on Sunday night about not soon shaken, about not being shook. But let me give you three areas real quickly tonight. First of all, in the area of suffering. In verse number 3 of chapter number 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. I just remembered a verse. Let me see if I can find it. It's in the book of Acts. And it was Paul, I believe, speaking. Let me see if I can find it. I know where it is on the page. I'll see it here in a minute, maybe. But in the area of suffering, okay, there it is. The Lord helped me. In chapter number 20, verse number 24, the Bible said, let me read verse 23. See, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul was a man that knew how to suffer. Listen to this next verse. But none of these things move me. Hallelujah. It didn't matter how bad it got. Amen. He said, I shall not be moved. Amen. And the Word of God said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. If it gets so bad, it takes my life. He said, I don't count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. A lot of people, when they talk about finishing their course with joy, they're talking about the hope of finishing absent from suffering. But Paul was wanting to finish with joy in the midst of the suffering. Amen. And so God, he said, I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. I thank the Spirit of God for giving me that verse of Scripture. I didn't really think about that until I was preaching just then. But it, unmovable in our suffering. And then unmovable in our service. You remember Paul talks about the coming of the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. One of the verses is, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But you come on down to verse number 58. And he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I tell you, God, don't, in the light of His coming, He don't want us to be wishy-washy, in and out, up and down. God wants us to be steadfast and unmovable. When we're going through suffering, be unmovable. When we're serving the Lord, He wants us to be unmovable. And then the third thing that the Lord spoke to my heart about was in the Scriptures. Look with me, if you will, at Ephesians chapter number 4 for just a moment. I believe the Lord wants us to be unmovable when we're talking about the Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14, the Bible said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Did you know, beloved, that most of the cults in the land, most of the cults in the world, do you know who they prey on? They prey on weak Christians. Somebody that maybe has just gotten into the family of God and gotten an interest in the Bible, that's who they prey on. They don't really go after sinners. Are you listening to me? They go after somebody that's already, beloved, got a belief system in them, and they know the Lord, and they deceive them. But God said, I want you to be unmovable. If we're going to please God, we need to be unmovable in the Scriptures. We ought to have it settled. I taught the teenagers on Sunday morning. Have you all ever heard of Peter Ruckman? Has anybody ever heard of Peter Ruckman? Okay, he had a following called Ruckmanites. And what they believed was that when the King James Bible was written, that the writers of the King James Bible were inspired. I don't believe that. I said, I don't believe that. I believe holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I believe what God did when He brought the Word of God in the English language out of the Greek and out of the Hebrew was preserved His Word. They didn't write it down again, so to speak, in the English language. They brought it out of the original tongues into the English language. And the Word of God said in Psalm chapter number 12, it's preserved to every generation. And beloved, listen, I believe that tonight. I believe the Word of God in that original was inspired. It was God-breathed. But I believe, beloved, listen, God has given us a word in the English language. For example, if someone, Miss Eve is somewhat fluent in German. She has German in her family. Well, if Miss Eve just takes a sentence in English and writes it in German, or vice versa, takes a sentence in German and writes it in English, that doesn't mean that God breathed on her to do that. Say amen. It just means that she brought it out of one language into another. That's what your pastor believes. If you're a Ruckmanite, that's fine with me. Amen. But I do not believe, beloved, that God started all over again. Amen. His Word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. And God knew that we needed it, and He's given it to us in the English language. So unmovable in the Scripture. In other words, we have God's Word. God's Word is inspired. But I'm talking about those writers that brought it out. Amen. God didn't just breathe on them and start all over again. Holy men of God spake as He were moved by the Holy Ghost,
And God preserved his word in the English language when he brought it out of the Greek and the Hebrew. That's what I believe wholeheartedly. And we have God's word in front of us in this old King James Bible. So unmovable. That pleases God as we live and walk in the light of his coming. The second thing tonight I want to give you is the word unblameable. Look up with me, if you will, at chapter number 3, I believe it is, and verse number 12. The Bible said, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints." I believe there's two things being pictured here. The Word of God is talking about it having to do with our hearts. I believe in verse number 12, our hearts before men. Men are watching us. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another." You know what I believe the offering for Brother Don said? I believe it says, "Brother Don, we love you. We love the Philippine people. We love Christ. And though you're way over yonder preaching the gospel, and we're over here preaching the gospel, we're in this together." Amen. And I believe tonight that is pleasing to the Lord. As we live on the threshold of his coming, he wants us to be unblameable before him. So it has to do with our hearts. I talk about before men, but it has to do with holiness. It is a crying shame that holiness has almost become a bad word in a lot of Christian circles. This Bible says, it still says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Amen. This Bible still says, "Come out from among them." Amen. Separate. Oh, let's see. I can't get it tonight. Brother Steve, you know it? Be a separate, come out from them, be a separate people, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And God wants us to be a separated people. There's a verse in Timothy. Let me see if I can find it. I know where it's at on the page. That's why I never change Bibles. Lots of times I don't know the address, but I know where it's at on the page. Here it is. The Bible said, "Now concerning the truth," verse 18 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, "who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That's what the Bible said. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." I don't know about you, but as we look at living in the light of his coming, there's a challenge. God wants us to be unmovable, but he also wants us to be unblameable. Amen. It has to do with holiness. That would be before God. The Bible said to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I wonder how much goes on, beloved. Listen, and it's called worship. But listen, worship comes from down in here. Amen. Now, it can come to the outside. It can manifest itself in many different ways. But I tell you what God's looking for, this to be clean when it comes out of there. That's what he accepts. Amen. And he's looking for us to be unblameable. So there's a challenge that's placed before us. Let me move on. Secondly tonight, there's a commandment that's placed before us. Give me a little drink of water there. Verse number 2, the Bible said, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." There's another verse of scripture. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but it says, "His commandments are not grievous." Somebody told Brother Mays Jackson one time, said, "I'm just having a hard time keeping them commandments." Brother Mays said, "Which one is it?" We're not saved by keeping the commandments. Listen to me tonight. I said, we're not saved. We've all broke them somewhere along the way. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. Listen, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's what he said. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, there's a commandment that's placed before us. Look at verse 11. "He studied to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. Beloved, most of our society treats it as a suggestion. Do it if you want to and forget about it if you want to. But God's commandments are not suggestions. God's commandments are God's commandments. And beloved, God's commandments are not to hurt us. They're to help us. You know, when you tie the sink door shut, Brother Preston, under the sink, because there's stuff under there to clean the sink, and there's stuff under there to unstop the drain, and that youngin wants in there. They want to know what's in there, but what's in there is not good for them, so you do your best to keep them out of it. I tell you, God knows there's a lot of stuff in this world not good for us. He wants to keep us out of it. Amen. He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to help us. Let me give you this. As far as our commandments, our walk. Look in verse 1. The Word of God said here, you ought to walk and to please God. Listen to this, that you might abound more and more. I wonder tonight, how many people, they're God's people, they've genuinely been born again, but they're satisfied to never abound more and more. I tell you tonight, beloved, there ought to be a desire in our heart, if we've been saved a year or 10 years or 50 years, to abound more and more in the things of God. We should never get to that part. Listen, I'm satisfied that I'm saved. I'm satisfied I'm on my way to heaven. I don't worry about that. I'm not concerned about that. That's already happened in my life. But beloved, listen, I believe in my marriage. I believe in my walk with God. I believe in my relationship with God. There's always room for improvement. Amen. And that I want to abound more and more. Not only our walk, but there's a commandment placed before us to help us in our walk. But what about His will? I want you to see this tonight. He said in verse 3, for this is the will of God. I've said this from this pulpit before. I'll say it again. Many of God's people live and die and never discover the will of God for their life. I want to say this tonight. God is not interested in hiding His will from anybody that wants to know it. If you want to know God's will for your life, you get before the Lord. I tell you the key to finding God's will. If you will think about a transmission in a vehicle, Brother Wayne, the key is neutral. You can't already have it in reverse, and you can't already have it in drive. You got to put it in neutral, amen, and let God decide. Amen? You've got to be in a place where the Lord is leading the way. Amen? I believe with all of my heart. He said some things about his will here. He said even your sanctification. How many believes it's God's will for us to be set apart? Amen? He said that you should know how to possess His vessel in sanctification and honor. Listen to me tonight. That vessel's this body. This body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. There is preaching tonight in the world, beloved, listen, that says, well, this body don't matter. That's not scriptural. Beloved, they'll say, well, God's looking at the heart. Yes, God is looking at the heart. But I'm telling you, this Bible teaches not just here, but over and over and over. It does matter how we walk. It does matter how we live. It does matter how we appear, amen, before others. And it does matter to God. The will of God will possess the vessel in sanctification, not in the lust of concupiscence, as other Gentiles which know not God, that no man go defraud and defraud his brother, go a bit beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. But the Lord is such avenger of all such as we have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So there is our walk that we're commanded concerning. There's His will that we're commanded concerning. And then, beloved, there's our work. Look in verse number 11. That you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God has a will, even in our work. I believe that with all of my heart. And this commandment is to steer us in the right direction. I thought about this verse, and I'll go on to the last thing in the message tonight. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh. I want to say this tonight. The night is upon us. The night's coming, Brother Larry, soon, when no man can work. What we do, we must do quickly, because Jesus is coming. Paul has mentioned that in every chapter in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work. Let me give you this tonight. Thirdly tonight, there's a challenge placed before us. There's a commandment placed before us. But there's a comfort that's placed within us. And I'll give you three things quickly tonight and we'll be done. In verse number 15, we ought to be comforted by His promise. Look what the Word of God said here. For we say unto you by the Word of the Lord. How many of y'all had a daddy, if he told you something, you could mark it down? How many had a daddy? You're blessed. That's one of the problems that we have in America today, is a lack of daddies, a lack of fathers. Amen. My daddy might say to me on Monday, son, I'm going to wear you out. He might not wear me out on Monday. He might not wear me out on Tuesday. I wish he'd go ahead and get it over with, if you know what I mean. But then all of a sudden, when you least expect it, son, let's go. And I wrote a poem one time, and it talked about my dad taking me to the woodshed, and that it was not the sights to see. Say amen. But he had one of them rods that he was fixing to take to me. You say, Pastor, what do you think about your daddy doing such a thing? I thank God. I thank my God for my daddy. I'm one of the most blessed men that ever walked in shoe leathers. I had a wonderful daddy down here, and I got a wonderful heavenly father over yonder. And both of them kept me on short leashes. What do you mean, Pastor? You ain't going far. Come here, boy. Amen. Thank God. The Bible said if we're without chastisement, we're bastards, not sons. My daddy didn't go up down the road whooping somebody else's boy, but he took care of his own. My heavenly Father will take care of his own. The devil's children might get by with all of it, but if you belong to God, you ain't going to get by with it. Amen. The Word of God talks about His promise. Look at it. For this we say unto you by the Word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. God said, I've given you my word. You remember? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I tell you tonight, we have God's promise and God's word on it. And that ought to be a blessing to comfort us on the inside tonight, to know that God, that cannot lie, He can't lie, has promised He's coming again. The second thing I want to tell you ought to be a comfort to us tonight is His presence. Look in verse number 16. Listen, the Lord ain't going to send somebody. The Word of God said the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Isn't it comforting tonight to know that this beloved that's fixing to take place is so important that the Lord's not going to delegate it? Amen. The Father's going to look over at the Son and say, Son, it's time. Go get your bride. Amen. And He's coming. And He's coming in person. Beloved, His presence ought to be a great comfort to us tonight. I want to read something to you if I can find it quickly. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Boy, did it bless my heart when I read it today. Robert Louis Stevenson, he tells of a storm. How many feels like we're in a storm? I believe that's where part of that depression, Brother Steve. And sometimes with God's people, let me just say this tonight. I'm not picking at what Brother Steve said, because I said the same thing to another man last week. But sometimes with God's people, it may not be depression as much as it is oppression. We just feel like there's pressure coming in from everywhere. Amen. Sometimes it's pressure just in the world that we live in. Sometimes it's related to the family some way or another. Sometimes it's related just to relationships that we have in this world. But Robert Louis Stevenson tells of a storm. that caught a vessel. And I remember I'm talking about his presence being the comfort that's placed within us. The Word of God tells us. Now watch this. Robert Louis Stephen tells of a storm that caught a vessel off a rocky coast and threatened to drive it and its passengers to destruction. In the midst of the terror, one daring man, contrary to orders, he went to the deck. He made a dangerous passage to the pilot house, and he saw the steerman. At his post, he would be the captain, of course, of the ship, at his post, holding the wheel unwaveringly, and inch by inch, he was turning the ship out once more to sea. The pilot saw the watcher and smiled. Then the daring passenger went below and gave out a note of cheer. He said, "I have seen the face of the pilot." And he said the word, and he said here in the illustration, and he smiled and said, "All is well." Glory to God. I tell you something we need in this generation is to see the face of the pilot. Amen. Because I promise you we would know all is well. Amen. And we could have that comfort in our heart. When I read that, I couldn't help but think about the book of Acts chapter 27. Turn there with me tonight. You need to see this. I know you know it, but you need to see it. You need to underline it in your heart. Underline in your Bible. Paul's in the midst of a big storm. The Bible said, but after long abstinence, verse 21 of chapter 27, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not to have loosed from Crete, and to have gathered, gained this harm and loss." And he said, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer." I believe Paul looked like a fool out there. A man, listen, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a daddy that stands up in this generation and tells his family, "Be of good cheer," he'll look like a fool. Amen. But I tell you, we can be of good cheer. Why? Because thank God he's given us a promise. Thank God we know his presence. He lives in our heart. He's the one that's personally coming after us. Watch this now. The Word of God said, "Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Watch this. He said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheers." Why? Why should it be of good cheer? He said, "For I believe God." That takes us right back to the text in the book of Thessalonians. Thank God, a motto of the Bible said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, surely tonight, that's exactly what we believe. We can have that comfort in our hearts tonight from his presence. Ain't that good? Amen. Thank God tonight when I get the Mully Grubs, what I need to see, Brother Michael, is the face of the captain. Amen. He's saying all is well. He said, "I know it looks like a mess. But you just remember this. There might be a storm, but I'm the master of the sea." Glory to God. He's coming, youngins. And when he does, we're out of here. Then the next thing I see tonight that ought to comfort us, and I'm finished, is his people. Look at verse 17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a day that's going to be. Brother Gary, when we buried my dad, when we buried my mom, I believe the balloons were outlawed by the time that we buried my dad. I'm pretty sure that's right. Am I right about that, Miss Eve? But I don't know if it was planned this way or not, but they just had this big old group of balloons. And all of them was white, wasn't they, Miss Eve, except for one, and one was red. Am I telling that right, honey? But Brother Grizzle, what tickled me, so help me, it was Damascus, Virginia, the graveyard, right at Sunset Memorial Cemetery, right outside of Damascus, Virginia. When they turned them balloons loose as in a wad, that red balloon represented my father, and it led the way. I'm telling it right, ain't I, Missy? It was up there leading the way for all the, oh, glory to God, youngins. Listen, I thank God for an earthly father. But I got a heavenly father tonight that's leading the way. We don't need to be disturbed. Amen. We just need to let God comfort us in our hearts. Because we're fixing them that's under the sod. Going to have to come a little further than us. God's going to get them up. Get them even with us. God's in this together business. And he's going to gather us together. Amen. Unto himself. And the songwriter got it right, Brother Preston. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. Amen. I mean, he's glad you come tonight. I am. I'm glad you came. It's so much better to preach to, I don't know, it must be at least 2,000 people here tonight than it is to preach to empty pews. That'll go on the tape. Maybe somebody will come to Bible Way and see 2,000 people on a Wednesday night. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad he's coming. I'm glad I'm going to hear the trumpet. I'm not one of those going to be left down here in this mess. I'm going to hear the trumpet. You say, how you know, Pastor? Because he lives right here. He's given me an ear to listen, an eye to watch. And we need to be looking for him tonight. Need to be living for him. Need to be loving on him tonight. Need to be loving on each other. Say amen. Thank you for coming.